laser, but was a second too late. Even with his eyes closed, the brightness of the flash disoriented and blinded him. He could hear the assassin approach, but he felt no fear, and instead focused on the noise, dropped his rifle, and drew his blade and pistol. While he waited for his adversary to creep closer, he placed a finger against the lining of his belt and calmly tapped the switch positioned there for a moment. When he pressed it, his shields erupted, and a crackling sound to his left confirmed that the barrier had thumped into his attacker. Flynn deactivated his shield, swept a leg out, and tripped the assassin, who convulsed at his feet. He attacked immediately and thrust his blade down as his vision began to return to normal. It sank in, but he ripped it free quickly before he stabbed again and repeated the process several times. Once his vision returned in full and he saw the chest of his victim no longer moving, he stood and activated the heat switch on his blade to burn the blood off. He flipped it to slide it back into its holster, but suddenly he couldn't move. He hadn't been struck by a shock grenade, so perhaps it was a toxin. It was like his limbs no longer responded to his commands. He felt something strike the side of his head. With no shield to deflect the shot, his helmet proved useless. It was an energy shot, not kinetic, and simply burrowed through. In the next moment, the forest seemed to turn sideways before a flash of white faded, and he found himself with only darkness all around. Marlowe received a message that the team leader was dead. The readout indicated a shot to the head, which probably meant a marksman had caught him in his sights. He felt a pang of pity, but quickly let it go. His gaze scanned the field and drifted toward a ledge higher in the mountains, very obviously a sniper's nest. The shots from his cannon would deteriorate over the distance, so he would need to call in some assistance. The demolitionist raised an arm and pointed to the location to mark it. After a few seconds, he received a confirmation message from Fighter 4. He picked his cannon up and continued up the path as the craft swooped past him and launched two missiles at the nest. At least two marksmen tried to bail out, but they were caught in the blast. It occurred to him that he should send a warning to the others to keep their surroundings clear. Who was the leader now? Was it him? Why was his memory fuzzy? He shook his head in an effort to clear it. There was no time to worry about it, and he'd have to make do and report the problem when they returned to base. For now, a mechanical whine echoed throughout the ridge and reminded him he had a job to do. Fortunately, it looked like he wouldn't have to run far as his job came to him. A mech broke through the tree line and fired a beam at his teammates, but the vanguard in the group made a shield hastily to protect himself and the other soldiers. It wouldn't hold for long, however. Marlowe adjusted the firing mode to charged shots and pressed the trigger to make it power up as he began to run. He activated his bounce jet and vaulted up to fire at the head of the mech. The blast knocked it back, and it stumbled haphazardly. Its massive arms swept along the ground and almost caught its own allies, who were forced to jump or roll out of the way. The demolitionist landed while he charged another shot, but the upper half of the mech spun and fired at him. He braced for the laser to melt him, exactly as he had done to his enemies, but instead, the vanguard now stood in front of him and intercepted the blast with a personal shield he'd formed around his armor. Marlowe rushed out from behind him and fired his shot at the mech's cannon. The blast destroyed the weapon, and the blowback all but annihilated the rest of the arm. The vanguard's shield drained into his hands, and he created an orb of energy that he threw at the mech's chest. When it struck, it launched the target off its feet, and it careened into the enemy troops that approached from the end of the path. The vanguard nodded to him and took point as the soldiers in the back ran up to release a sustained volley at the retreating enemy soldiers. The demolitionist vented his cannon and glanced up when a fireball crossed the sky. A drop ship plummeted in flames and crashed on the left side of the battlefield. He paid it no mind at first and simply accepted that all occupants were killed, but a warning was quickly issued to challenge his assumption.
Alert, Havoc droids, alert, Havoc droids.
Several droids emerged from the wreckage, and immediately chain guns and cannons ripped into the other soldiers. They were heavily armored, black in color with the exception of a golden circle with lines along the edges meeting in the middle, the insignia of the World Military. It appeared they had finally begun to support the resistance groups, at least with bots and weapons. He broke off from his unit and pushed forward to confront the droids. Yelling and pounding